Recording in progress.
There we go. Yeah, there we go. Imagine theme tune here.
Yes. Okay, that's the theme tune done.
That's the theme tune. Right. Sing the theme tune. Play the theme tune.
This is going to be the most horrendous podcast we've ever done. This is going to be like the W14.
Jesus, there's some quite high ones, but this will be like the W14.
Yeah, this will be just like a massive just clusterfuck from day one. But that would mean that we'd have to have some kind of promise at some point to make it think that it's going to be okay. So.
No, we've never thought that. That's the advantage with us, is we've never set the bar that high to be able to do anything.
Yeah.
So, like, the bar is quite low. We know we're shit, so it's grand.
Mm. I think that's two podcasts in a row that the live stream has basically been kicked off by Tom Downey saying, bloody hell, lads. I'm pretty sure that was his opening.
So Tom Downey is the fucking problem. Right, grand.
Seems that way. I'm going to blame Tom. That's what I normally do.
Yeah, well, I blame Tom and I get away. It could be anyone, you know.
And also, I'm just sharing my my lovely things with the YouTube audience here. So I'm just putting on Blistex relief cream on my lips because the weather has changed. And being that I work outside, So it looked like I'm wearing lipstick, and I promise I'm not wearing lipstick.
He's wearing lipstick, guys.
I am wearing lipstick. So if you see me just putting this stuff on, then that's what it is. That's
It was a sprint weekend this weekend, wasn't it? So
it was a sprint weekend, yeah.
Well, we'll probably get on to. Should we talk about the sprint weekend like everyone else does as to what's happening? Yeah, anyway, that got really boring. I don't care what happens. Anyway, well, we'll talk about it.
I watched the sprint at 11 p.m. on Saturday night, and then I watched the race at 1 a.m. Sunday morning, and I've hardly slept since. Nice. So great. It's going to be good.
Nice.
Carl, tell me what happened.
Let's do the sprint first of all. So Norris on pole, but Verstappen jumps. Oscar having a bit of a shit time and goes wide. And Perez, being Perez, is being a bit shit. Oh, for fuck's sakes. And Russell jumps Norris. That was more luck than anything, in my opinion. Yeah, there's no skill there. Four laps later, and Norris jumps Russell. He has absolutely nothing to give. Perez and Russell having a battle. They're both at the same level. That level being as good as this podcast, shit. Anyway, Danny Rick showing he has some skill. Two Aussies having a battle. Alonso showing, again, some racing skill. First time we've seen that in a little while. That Merc is Dame Edna Everage. Shit drag artist that was past its prime. Anyway, that's a really old joke. Does anyone even know who Dame Edna Everage is? Anyway, Max wins by 4 seconds and Norris in second and Perez in third. It was really a bit boring. That's the problem with sprints, is they happen so quick in some ways. And it's all start and end and nothing happens in the middle.
That sounds like something else I know.
No, yours is just short. Nothing.
Mine was like mine is like the start of the Brazilian Grand Prix.
Well, we know it fucking works.
Yeah.
That's one thing.
Two laps in, yeah. Anyway, moving along from that.
Are we going to talk about it? There's nothing really to talk about in the sprint, was there? Like, it was a bit of a nothing. Apart from the Mercs being shit, but, you know, wait till the race, they get shitter.
Yeah, it was depressing. Like, the Mercedes was just terrible. Like, a whole weekend. I looked at it in the sprint.
Boy,
like,
no spoilers.
This is going to be a long, long race. Like, just from the sprint, you could tell that it was going to be a long race for Mercedes. And I couldn't see them finishing in the points, even in the sprint, to be honest, the way the pace was. But, yeah, it's just another bad weekend for that Mercedes. And I just, they don't do well in sprints. You see the sprint. In fact, what I'll do is I'm going to get up some facts. I'm going to throw some cold, hard facts at you. But if you can fill for a minute.
About the sprint?
While I find the facts, if you could fill.
I'm not very good at filling. I mean, I'm like, it's like hot air. I can't, actually, I'm quite good at speaking hot air and talking bollocks. So yeah, no, the sprint was grand. I don't get the excitement of the sprints. I do. And they're talking about moving them. And I think, like, and the Sky F1 team are just obsessed. Well, a certain person in the Sky F1 team is slightly obsessed with the idea that we should be doing the qualifying for the race on qualifying sprint on the Friday, which makes it completely pointless. The race, which means it's nothing exciting on a Friday, which means you might as well just have practice there. Mm-hmm. The race on Saturday morning, and then the qualifying on Sunday and Saturday afternoon. But then I'm just like, no one's going to try in the sprint because they're not going to risk their car for qualifying. You know, qualifying the actual race. Yeah. It just seems there's no time to
To be honest, there is no solution that's gonna fix all. There's nothing they can do that's gonna fix everything.
I don't see the problem with what is. There's no problem. That's the thing. What is the problem at the moment? There is no problem.
They're just
get a qualifying on the Friday, which is exciting because we now have a Friday. You get a full day on a Saturday, which is exciting, but it doesn't mean anything. But it's still they're still going racing because they know they have Saturday night to fix things.
Yeah,
you know.
So basically, there is no way to make the sprint perfect, and they want to make it successful, and it's not going to be successful. I don't really have a problem with sprint races, to be honest. I don't hate the format. I quite like the fact that it's a busy weekend, and you can get lots of sessions in there. Inevitably, I'm not able to watch all the sessions, but you know that's fine. Other people in the world are not able to watch all the sessions because it clashes with their work commitments and everything. So. I'm fine
with
that.
Or you live in Australia and everything's at 2 a.m. in the fucking morning.
I am fine with that. Yeah. But some cold hard facts for the sprint for you. I have in front of me the sprint standings world championship.
Is this going to be really
Formula
boring?
One. Probably. But it's so basically what I've done is I've now that we've finished the sprints, I've put all of the sprint results into its own standalone championship.
Results.
Yeah, the actual.
But this
results.
Is what they're talking about is now having. This is Science's idea, isn't it? To have this.
Possibly,
as a
but again, I don't think that would work anyway. But looking at it, so in the sprint championship, Max Verstappen wins the championship with 45 points. Sergio Perez is second with 25.
Shock.
Sainz third with 22.
Weird.
Lando Norris fourth with 21. Leclerc level with him on 21, but behind him because Norris has got better results. Then it's Russell. Then it's Hamilton in seventh with only 17 points. Then Piastri in eighth with 15. So, like, you go back through there. And the championship I've also got with the joys of wonderful Excel
spreadsheets.
Yeah, and filling. And for some reason, everything on my screen has just gone black apart from my spreadsheet. So I'll fix that in a minute.
Nice. Well, we can still see you, unfortunately.
Okay, well, that's good. So looking at that then, the championship picture wouldn't have changed dramatically. The only difference would be that Perez would still be in second, but he would only be 17 points ahead of Hamilton. Mm-hmm. Sainz would be in fourth with, fifth, sorry. Sainz would be in fifth, Alonso fourth. And then we've got Norris sixth, Leclerc in seventh, Russell in eighth. So the championship picture doesn't change that much. So it's like, begs the question, what is it actually doing? Apart from just giving people more stuff to have to watch. The only difference really for the championship would be Hamilton would be closer to Perez.
But this is the thing. It's more stuff to watch, more advertising, which means more money. Do you know what I mean? That is literally what the point of the sprints is. It's a Liberty Media money pit.
Yeah. So we do have seven drivers that have not scored a point in sprint races, which is Ricardo, De Vries, so two of the four AlphaTauri drivers. Sargeant, shock horror. Lawson, so three out of the four AlphaTauri drivers. Yeah. And then we've got Magnussen, hasn't scored. Zhou and Bottas haven't scored. So the Saubers, or the Alfa Romeos, haven't scored any points in any of the sprint races.
Yeah.
And Albon's got a couple of points in there, and so is Ocon. But even Hülkenberg, he's got 3 points, so he's up in 12th in the standings for sprints with just one.
So you're saying it hasn't affected the World Championship at all?
It hasn't, and it's not been particularly. It's been counter competitive in that it's actually made the field spread worse. You know, it doesn't really matter because if you take 45 points away from Max Verstappen, where is he in the championship? If you take all of his sprint points away from him, he still wins the championship by an absolute
several hundred points. Okay, you can geek out on this slightly. If you gave full championship points instead of the top eight, if you did, gave full championship points, what happens there? Obviously, Max flies.
Yes, well, let's put it this way.
Does Lando jump?
Probably not, because you've got Verstappen has won. No, because you've got Verstappen has won four out of the six sprints, and he's come second in one and third in one. So obviously the lion's share of the points go to him. Perez gets a few extra points because he's got a first, a second, a third, and a fifth, I think. So he becomes a much more comfortable second. Sainz probably climbs up a tiny bit, but again, even with those, you're still only looking at minor points positions. A six pointer is the best that he's got, which is a podium. So you're looking an extra, probably an extra 20 points for Carlos Sainz. Lando Norris has had two sprint results where he's got no points at all. So he doesn't fly up there. He's got 1 second, he's got 1 third, 1 fourth.
Anyway, this is so, boring maths.
It doesn't. Basically, all I'm saying is it doesn't affect anything. All it is just extra wheat and chaff to get through the weekend.
A bit like this discussion. Right, yeah. Tom says his suggestion should be FP1 and FP2 on Friday, then quali, then 25% sprint on the Saturday, then the Sunday, GP set by the order of the sprint with the top 10 reversed. Well, no, because you'd want to put yourself in 10th. There's no advantage for doing that.
If
the equal points don't make sense. So the only way that works if you have equal points for the sprint and the main race. So if you have equal points in the sense that you can get 20 points or whatever it is for number one in the sprint, then it's worth fighting for the sprint because you're suddenly going to be in 10th, which only gives you 1 point.
So
does that make sense?
What I think might be an option, I haven't thought everything through on this, and there's bound to be some unintended consequences, but I think maybe the solution here would be you could do, I think maybe you do a reverse grid race qualifying session. So effectively, what? you have a sprint race, which pays points like it does now, but then maybe you do a.
But then how do you qualify for that?
You do a like a 20 minute reverse grid race or something along those lines. So you effectively, you start with a race to qualify, something like that. Because they're desperate to get some kind of reverse grid system in there without like cheapening the results. So if you make it part of a qualifying session, a reverse grid qualifying session, maybe that works. Maybe that's something that might work. But I don't know. I think maybe the solution, to be honest, is to do lots of things. They've tried different things. So maybe they just do, they have six sprint events in the year. I'm quite happy with that number. I think that number should stay fairly consistent. I also think they should happen. They should happen nowhere near the end of the season. I don't think if you've got a race in the last five races, you shouldn't have a sprint. They shouldn't be affecting the championship because it's, you end up winning the championship on a Saturday, which, okay, fair enough, it's not a massive issue, but I don't think you should have the jeopardy in those final races. The jeopardy should be the championship fight. Obviously, that's if we have a championship fight. But maybe that's something.
That jeopardy is, if you did have a proper championship fight, the sprint would be really interesting.
I don't think it would. I think it would. The trouble is, with the way the sprint format works, you're not likely to get an awful lot happening in them. So all it does is it's just going to make qualifying more important. And we end up in the situation like we were in the early 2000s, where it's just literally a sprint. It's just cars driving around, following each other. And then that's how you win a championship, by following someone to the end of the flag. I think you need a Grand Prix with strategy to make that kind of thing worth doing. Or if you have the situation like we have with Hamilton in 21, flying through the field in Brazil, trying to make up as many places as possible for the Grand Prix. So maybe, I mean, I think pole position needs to be pole position, but I don't know if there's any way to make the sprint affect the race rather than being a standalone event, but without being qualifying. It's
how about the sprint is the qualifying?
But that's what they had before. But then they have the whole thing of pole position. So unless you axe qualifying altogether and make the qualifying,
you have a sprint qualifying. Yeah, you have a sprint qualifying and then qualifying a sprint. Yeah.
Well, they used to make it that the sprint set the grid for the race, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. And what was the problem with that?
The problem, a lot of people, certain friendly statistician friends of ours as well, hated it because of the whole pole position setting. You have qualifying for the sprint, and then that sets a grid for the race. So then, like, for example, Hamilton put it on pole position in Silverstone, in 21, but then Verstappen won the sprint, so therefore Hamilton doesn't have a British Grand Prix pole, even though he took pole. But then the following year they said, oh, whoever gets pole gets awarded pole, but that doesn't mean that they start, because it might be that they get pole for the sprint, but then they retire from the sprint and start last. So then you have the pole sitter sitting last, but then pole doesn't become first. You have this whole debate. So that's why this system came in. Like I said, unless they make it completely separate, or they do something wacky, like they change it every race. You know, you have a different format for each race. There might be something in that. And you say, right, on this event, this will be the rules. Start of the year, you say, there'll be a sprint in Brazil, and for that, we will have one shot qualifying and a reverse grid start race or whatever, something like that. You know,
I just like what Jared just said there. Maybe a sprint and then skip straight to Q3. So the last 10 drivers are decided by the sprint, and then the first 10 are then put through into a Q3 one-shot wonder.
Possible.
It'd be interesting. Because then you would get the pole. You would get, you know, you'd have, so the suggestion might, like, that sounds like an interesting idea, is that you'd have a sprint shootout qualifying on the Friday or whatever. I'm not talking about days here because it makes no difference. A sprint qualifying shoot. Then you have a sprint, and then you have a Q3, almost just a Q3 session, which will take the top 10.
Like a super pole for Formula E.
And then you then take... That's quite a cool idea. I quite like that.
Well, the other thing potentially you could do, like, why not, for sprint qualifying, have a 15-minute qualifying session?
Mm-hmm.
20 cars on track. You've got a 15-minute session. Set your best time.
Yeah.
That's for the sprint, because it's a sprint. Everything has to be quick, right?
Yeah.
So just have a 15-minute session, or maybe it's an 18-minute session or 20-minute session, yeah, something like that. And then whatever tires you want, you know, do whatever the fuck you want, but you've got 20 minutes. Whoever's quickest in that session is quickest in that session.
Yeah.
So then you'll have, because if it's a short session, then you have that jeopardy of, well, we can't wait too long for the track to rubber in, because that's what the problem they had in the past. They had a 1-hour session, and then you'd have nobody going out for 25 minutes, and then some of the back markers would go out, and then the fast cars would go out at the end when the session's at its quickest and set the quickest time, and it was just boring. So if you had 18 minutes or 15 minutes or something like that, and it's just everyone on track, you've got 15 minutes to set the fastest time, your best time in those 15 minutes, that's your qualifying. So maybe you do that for sprint. Because I don't like the sprint shootout. I find it, the reduced session times don't really help anything.
But it's just like the Q3 sprint shootout is just a one lap wonder.
But they manage to they do sometimes get 2 laps in some tracks because it's short enough to do it. So make
but
it
even
so
in
you
Brazil,
only get,
I can do that. Yeah.
But so you make it so it is only one run. Like that's it. You're only allowed one run. You can do that run whenever you want, but you only get one run.
Anyway, I'm bored of talking about sprint.
Yeah, me too.
So let's talk about the race. So here's the race. So we have Leclerc on pole. Uh-oh, I spoke too soon. Into the barriers and the formation late.
Why is he so unlucky? He was on the front row, not on pole.
No,
he was second.
Was he second? Anyway. Oh, well, there we go.
Yeah, anyway.
Oh, then that ruins my next line, which is now we have Verstappen on fake pole. Oh, well. Anyway. Alonso not giving away anything about who he's aiming at, with his nose pointed directly at Verstappen. Like he made that so obvious as to where he was aiming for, but then forgets about Norris behind him, who has a great start and jumps, and then big crash. So whose fault was that? I don't think it was anyone's, but lots of collateral damage from Piastri and Ricciardo. So safety car and then red. And yes, the safety car was right and it shouldn't have been a straight red for anyone's starts. They could go through the pit. Anyway, restart. Question, why are Piastri and Ricciardo a lap down? Why didn't they unlap and why did they start in the pits, even having done the formation lap? There was too many questions there. Please circle back to that because I'm on Zoom and Slack, so that means that we zoot circle back to things because we're that people. Anyway, Ham trying and didn't do well, and then Alonso fights into third. Lap 8, Norris is having his M&M moment to get Verstappen and fails. He lost his one shot. I had to just explain that joke there. The ones that the TV ignores are doing quite well, but we never see them. The Mercs are just shit. Like, seriously, what is going on? And just shut the fuck up, you Russell whingebag British twit. Anyway, it's all settled down now. Pit's good, lots of road takes, but it's Brazil. Oh, there's the crowd. Oh, there's part of a helicopter. And then the crowd. Oh, and part of a helicopter. What the fuck is this TV director doing? I've given up with him. Russell retires for being shit. Let's be honest, for being shit. He's retired for being shit. There's a baby. No, that's Russell, the baby. He's the biggest baby here. Anyway, sorry. Tom's trying to like distract me with pictures of his sodding son. Alonso jumps. Great fight between Perez and Alonso. Perez jumps Alonso. Alonso jumps on the last lap. We have a great battle, but let's look at the same car we have every where the wins every race. Why did we need to see Verstappen line? We didn't see Norris crossing the line, and we presumed he did. So why the feck are we watching Verstappen cross the line? I literally don't give a shit. And they literally crossed the line, and Perez is trying, and who the fuck was third? Like, seriously, Alonso by 0.05 seconds. Seriously, that was close. And Norris nicely in. I've written third here. He was in second, so I don't know what that was about. There we go.
Wow, loads to unpack there. I was just playing around just like with my boy, like yes. Showing
he's
off my son.
Boy.
He's my boy. Oh, that's no, Lando's no longer my boy. Oh, never mind. I have a proper boy now. I have my own boy coming. So, yes. So, circling back like we do.
Mm-hmm.
First lap, that was just a racing incident. I think that was nothing. Just one of those things.
Yeah,
I'm trying to remember what happened. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. You were asking about some other stuff as well.
Yeah, so didn't understand the Piastri, why they one lap down.
Okay.
Why didn't they unlap?
Well, it was behind a safety car. They came into pits to retire the car. Then a red flag was flown after everyone had gone past the start line. So they had done an extra lap when they came into the pits, which means when they went to do a restart, they were a lap down. So if they had
if they stayed behind the safety car, you unlap behind the safety car. So why didn't they just unlap?
Because they called a red flag whilst the safety car was out. Everyone filed into the pits at the end of that lap.
I don't understand that. Why would you not just unlap everyone?
Well, no, they couldn't because they'd already come into pits to retire at that point. So then the safety car continued on round for another lap. Then they waved the red flag. The safety car came into the pits at the end of that lap. So at that point, they've done a lap less than everyone else. If they'd then done a safety car restart, like they've done in the past, they would have then allowed them to pass the safety car, go round to the grid, do an extra lap, line up on either line up on the grid or no, because they wouldn't have lined up on the grid, would they?
Why didn't they just do a safety car drive around with those two drivers behind?
Well, why should they? Because they retired from the race at the end of the day.
But they hadn't retired.
But they had, but they came into pits to
retire. Oh, they've got to sort this out. This is really annoying me because this is the second time this has happened with cars retiring and then coming back into the race.
The only confusing thing for me really is that they had a situation in, there was a rain shod race where they red flagged it and the two, I think it was the Hasses, were at the back and lapped, but they let them go round to the grid first before the safety car led everyone out. I think the difference with that is because they were in the race the entire time. The other guys had just basically spent two laps in the pits, which is why they were a lap down. So they had
then
to start.
Think once you retire, you retire. You cannot go into that race again. It's so annoying.
Yeah, but they just wouldn't retire, would they? They'll just pull them into pits and just not.
But pulling them into the pits, if you miss a lap by sitting on the pits, you've retired. If you reverse back into your garage, you've retired.
I mean, you could put something in like that, definitely.
Do you know, if you go into the garage at any point, you have retired and you cannot come back out. You know, so you either have to do work while the car's sat in the pit lane, and at least that sort of makes some sort of more sense to me. But if the car goes into the garage where they have the full capability of all their tools and everything and all their telemetry, look at me with that big word, you've retired. It's a DNF. Like, it's not that you've just decided to skip a few laps.
Yeah, I mean, we've had it before where people have come into the pits and they've been in the pits for a long period of time and then they've gone out like 7-8 laps down. And
well, like Perez did.
Yeah.
And then retired again.
Yeah, but even so, we've had people do that and then go back out and continue to race. And then, like, there's been, high attrition, and they've ended up with a point because they've only had been like six finishes or whatever.
Well, so, which is why they sent Perez back out, and not Perez, they sent Piastri back out.
Yeah, just in case there was, because they could get him back in the race. But yeah, I mean, it is a bit confusing. Sorry, I'm yawning away.
That's really they were never going to be back in the race unless, you know, four other cars again, decided to leave.
If there had been a safety car, then they would have unlapped the safety car and gone back round again. So they could have then got back onto the lead lap. So had there been a safety car, they could have got back in the race. So at that point, you're two laps in, you could get back into the race. But especially with a crazy first lap, you never know. There might have been another crazy lap and then...
But what I don't understand, what is there? There is no advantage from my understanding of them being in on the race lap, having missed two laps. Does that make sense?
No.
So if they filed in, why would they start from the pits? I don't get that. Why could they not start with everyone else?
I was in, why they started from the pit lane.
They start from the pit lane?
I guess Tom's that's saying, because where they were when it was red flags, maybe.
Yeah. I don't understand as to why they had to start in the pit lane for starters. That literally makes no sense. Having done the formation lap, it's not like they didn't do the formation lap. They did the formation lap and then came into the pits. So that doesn't make any sense. What also doesn't make any sense is they have a higher fuel level at that point, which means they're heavier, having missed two laps out, correct?
Yes. Which is why they're a lap down, effectively.
So that's the way they're a lap down. So what is the advantage? Why are they missed two laps, as far as I was concerned, but they seemingly were only a lap down, which I didn't understand. And also, why can they join the back of the pack and just be in the race from the back of the pack? They're heavier. They have no advantage to where they to being, it's not like they've emptied a load of fuel and, you know, they're going to be lighter.
I guess the reason might be if you're, because it's another race start, if you break Parc Fermé, you have to start from the pit lane. So maybe to repair the cars, they had to break the Parc Fermé and change parts on the car they weren't allowed to change. That's the only thing I can think potentially might have been the reason. Because they had to change Ricciardo's rear wing, so maybe the one they put on was a different specification. So maybe it was something like that. But
they had to change Piastri's rear wing as well, didn't they?
I didn't see what happened to Piastri, in all honesty.
Yeah, Piastri had the tire go up the exhaust or something. Oh, no, he had the what's his name go up his ass? The Hulk. I think it's Hulk. One of them went up his ass anyway. Right. Okay. I couldn't care less if they replaced major parts, though. Like, that's what I don't understand. If they replace major parts, then don't enter the race again. Mm. They've broken Parc Fermé, if you will. So their penalization is one lap down? Is that what they're saying?
Mm.
Which, one lap down for changing parts, that is a 120-second penalty, or whatever it is.
Hmm.
That doesn't make any sense either.
I don't know. Again, I don't think I know enough about this race because it's I haven't been able to do any kind of analysis or anything of the race because of
I've had too busy much time thinking about this.
Yeah, you were literally watching the highlights before we came on this podcast.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
So the other question was about the
Don't broadcast. Give away my secrets.
The other question was about the broadcast.
The fuck was going on? My fucking seven-year-old could do better.
Sorry, this is my smug hat I'm wearing.
Paint by fucking numbers. Camera 2, camera 4, camera 3, camera 1. If a camera is looking at fucking audience and helicopters, do not say that fucking number. It's so not hard.
I didn't get any of that. I watched it on F1 TV and
yes,
the broadcast.
You did. The broadcast
good.
Is the same. It's the
no,
same
well,
thing.
No, because I had picture in picture. I had split screen. I saw Verstappen and I saw Perez fighting Aston Martin. I didn't have any of this. I had no crowd shots whatsoever.
Oh, my God. This one that just... Actually, you did, and don't lie, because I watched the F1 highlights and just as Verstappen... I watched the F1 TV highlights, okay? And just as... as Lando was taking as Alonso was battling with Perez, there was a crowd shot just before it jumped to Verstappen, and then there was another crowd shot before it went back.
Right, well, I'm not saying there wasn't any crowd shots, but all I can say is I don't remember any crowd shots, and I don't remember any point being angered by the TV coverage.
Oh, my God. But it's the same feed, mate. You must have been.
Okay, so anything that's picture-in-picture, that's done by F1 TV. So they've got the world feed, but whatever they do with that is up to them. Now, I thought the world feed was just... You can have the world feed and you can put whatever you want over the top or around that, or you can replace it. So it might be that Sky are putting the fan Great shots in feed. Over the top. It may well be that Sky are doing that because they've got the world feed, and then they might be putting the ambient shots on top of that because they think it's what they want to do. But I didn't watch the Sky coverage. I can't compare it to the F1 TV coverage because that's what I watched it on. So I don't remember getting angered by anything on F1 TV that I saw, apart from the shit performance of the Mercedes. That's the only thing that angered me.
Like, there was this shot, okay, where they were in a they did the helicopter shot, okay, and it was on the crowd. Grand, I can cope with it for about a second. It's fine. And then it just stayed on it. And the camera started turning, and there was the bit of the helicopter, the skid of the helicopter. Yeah. And then it went back, and then we saw a bit more of the skid. And it was just like, oh my God. Like,
and that was during the race?
During the race.
I don't remember that shot at all.
And it was just like, how much longer are we sitting on this shot?
I think that's Sky.
I don't know what was going on. It was just really messy. And it was, you might be right, because what was happening was, what's his name? The twat that speaks.
Crofty.
He was going on about Hamilton when they were showing Russell. And it sounded like he was getting it wrong. But what was actually happening is he must have been looking at another feed. And he even said, oh, I'm looking at the wrong feed. So he must have about three or four feeds in there as well. What is either being shown in reality or shown on Sky. And that is causing the problems. And I think this is why making the commentators look stupid and Crofty look stupid. I know it doesn't take much.
But equally, he's looking at the wrong feed. So, that's still on him.
Yeah, but it's hard because obviously if he's looking at what is the world play feed compared to what Sky's dropping out, it's hard. I don't know what is going on with it. It was just messy and amateur, and just the amount of random crowd shots we were getting, the amount of random shots of just like really weird cuts as well, just as someone was overtaken with cuts of someone else doing nothing. And it was just like, and that, like that Alonso, like that battle for Perez, it wasn't picture in picture. Which means
me.
I had to see I had to then cut to Verstappen.
They cut to Verstappen. They did do that, but it was split screen.
But I didn't have that, so I couldn't see. Oh, I had a decent race, really enjoying that, and then this fucking Verstappen crossing line. I don't give a flying fuck if Verstappen crosses line. Well done on him. He's done. I wanted to watch the racing and what was actually happening in third.
Fine with it if it's split screen, and so you can, because it's a crescendo
absolutely.
Of the race.
Sorry,
it's,
I agree that if it's split screen, exactly like this is a Zoom now, brilliant. I will have that all day long because I can choose to watch that, and see the race. And I agree, yes, you should see the winner across the line, but not when something so exciting is happening. Yeah. And I'm sorry, but Verstappen crossing the line is not A, exciting, B, why the fuck do they have fireworks during brilliant daylight? I never understand that either. There's just a load of smoke going up in the air. It's just like, oh my fucking God. Seriously, just get a smoke machine. It's easier. Like, it doesn't make any sense as to why they have daylight fireworks. Yes, if you're in fucking Bahrain or
Saudi Arabia,
any of those.
Las Vegas.
Yeah, any of those. Have fireworks all the fucking days. I couldn't care less. Obviously, don't fire them like they did at the US into the fucking helicopter. That was a highlight.
So funny.
Like, what? Like, but anyway, like, don't bother with the fireworks. He wins the race. Rand. Do something else. Put a load of screens up with his fucking face on. I couldn't care less, but like, don't
have target practice.
Yeah. I like how how Jared's agreeing with several of my points, not all my points.
No, no.
Anyway, no one's going to agree with all.
You are 60% bullshit. So, but 40% of you is really good, really worthwhile having.
Oh, Jesus. I can't even do 50-50. Right. Anyway, I moaned about that. We haven't really talked about the drivers or the race or anything, really. The McLarens were very good, but Piastri had a shit time. Great. Norris is doing well, proving that he's a future champion. Russell is a fucking wony little winch bag, and that car was just a bag of shit, but I think it has to do with the downforce. And I don't think...
Yeah, too much
There's
downforce.
Nothing they could have done. They chose their bed and they had to lie in it. Don't understand why they can't change it halfway through. If someone can explain that to me.
Because after practice one, it's Parc Fermé. They can't change it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So once they at the end of practice one, that's it. They have to lock in their setup.
Why?
Yeah, I mean that is a question. Like it's because of the sprint. But again, why can't you make a setup change after the sprint?
Yeah.
I don't see why you can't. That's one thing that as I think could change. Lando was good. He I think Verstappen clearly still had something in reserve.
And that like that thing was he was obviously sandbagging to let Lando quite close. Probably didn't realize how good Lando was going to attack him, and then just pulled away.
Yeah,
like exactly. even if Lando overtook him, great. Lando would have been one lap, and then he wouldn't even got a lap. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, that's nothing of a nothing. Lando's doing really well, but he hasn't got the car. How bad must it be for Mercedes when you have so many cars above them, and especially the Aston Martin who have been shit for this half the season.
Lewis Hamilton started the restart in second place, and then finished a minute behind the winner.
Yeah.
So they were a minute off the pace in 67 laps.
And then Russell retired.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, I'm pretty sure that was just to avoid the indignity of being passed by Yuki Tsunoda for a point. Which would have happened. He would have been passed by Ocon as well. Potentially even Logan Sargeant. The pace was just nowhere. So it's just retire the car because it's gone.
Yeah.
It wasn't a great race from Russell in that sense. I think at the start of the race, he was saying about, let's work together. It's like, yeah, you're saying that because you know you've got a fast Red Bull behind you and Hamilton's losing pace to Alonso. And then as soon as Perez passed, he was like, we're not working together then. It's like, well, you know, you need to drive your car faster. Hamilton's not there to sit, less than a second in front of you. You still need to race the race, and you're not going to keep that car behind you the whole time.
No.
So that was a bit of a non thing for me, to be honest. I didn't like that. He said, I'm not going to attack. Well, no, it's because you couldn't attack. Hamilton was slowing down to allow you to stay in your DRS.
Yeah. We got to work together. Are we working together?
And then in the second half of the race, you saw how the time management went. He just went off a cliff for George. He just couldn't cope with it. And that just, so that's a poor race from him. Overall, Hamilton managed to at least rescue a couple of points, but even so, it was just a badly managed race from Russell. Hamilton did the best he could with what he had, but it still wasn't an amazing race from him. He did okay, but Perez, he still couldn't beat Fernando Alonso in a slower car, and he's finished 6 seconds ahead of Lance Stroll. He's finished over a pit stop behind a McLaren in the fastest car.
Yeah,
it's still not good enough. I'm sorry, this was less shit for Perez, but it's still not good enough.
Well, at least you don't have to wear sombrero. That's all I can say.
Oh yeah, that's not going to happen, is it? Unless there's something crazy is going to happen, he's going to end up winning Las Vegas. I can see it. I can see it. But yeah, it's fine. That's fine. I was a bit disappointed. I thought Sargeant might have got a point. I thought there was one more retirement, one little Yuki Tsunoda mistake away, and Logan Sargeant gets another point. I was really hoping for him to get a point there, but alas, was not to be. Stroll, decent race, lost a few places at the start. Apart from that, he was good. Finished 6 seconds off Alonso. I know Alonso was in super defense mode for those last 20 laps, so he would have been compromising his own.
But still quite good.
Oh, I have a beeping in my ear. I think my headphones are running out of battery.
You are. You have a flashing light too.
Flashing light?
Oh. Yeah.
Cool. Excellent.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was flashing red.
Cool. That'll be I'm running out of battery then. Right. Where's my thing? Keep talking.
Oh, can you hear? All right. No, you can't hear. So you can't hear. Okay. So he's
there we go.
Do you know what? It's all very good. Like this wireless world, and we still have to be plugged into a cable.
Well, I don't normally. It's just because all these
like we've got wireless phones and we sit there, and I literally wireless phone and plugged into a fucking cable. It's just
I might as well
have a landline.
I did just unplug
Does
my
phone.
Does
anyone still have landlines? Are those still a thing?
I have a landline, I just don't use it. I've got their phone connected to it.
Yeah, that, like no one has it. What's a Monty Python line? I've never even heard of Waterpeak. Right?
I don't know what the Monty Python line is.
No. I wouldn't intentionally have done a Monty Python line.
Oh, I have a beeping sound on my ear. Yes. Yeah. But this is annoying because I've got now my headphones in the wrong ears. It's all wrong. Everything's wrong. Everything's
You're
wrong
backwards.
Now. Yes, I am.
Right. Anyway, I'm just trying to think if there's anything else. No one cares about the Aftaris. The media don't care about the Alpha. Sorry, the media don't care about the Aftaris. About the Alpines. Fuck me, there's too many A's here.
There'll be two less next year.
Well, you keep telling me this, and if they call that one the Red Bull Boss or whatever.
What was Boss it called? Bulls Racing, I think.
Boss Bulls Racing. Jesus.
But that's not been confirmed yet. I'd be happy to just have Toro Rosso back. That's fine. You know, it's Italian Red Bull. That does the job. But they just want to sell it, don't they? Sell it for naming rights.
Well, I can get but then why put the balls in? Just call it Boss Racing and just be sponsored by Red Bull. It literally makes no difference.
Yeah, why Boss Balls? It's frustrating, but yeah.
Actually, don't call it Red Boss because they've already got links to fucking Hitler.
I mean, they do.
So
Mercedes, so it's fine.
Yeah. But it's a weird thing to be Boss. Does that mean that AlphaTauri as a clothing brand are being bought out by Boss? Is that what's happening?
No, I think they're just not having naming rights on the team anymore.
So what's happening to AlphaTauri? Are they actually gone? What's happening to the clothes company, AlphaTauri?
They're just not sponsoring a team anymore. Still going to be a thing, aren't they? But they're just not sponsoring a team anymore. Yeah, it's just a branding exercise, isn't it? It's just a bit boring and a bit dull.
Does Boss even sponsor?
No, I don't think so. No. They sponsor Mercedes at the moment, I think, don't they? Hugo Boss?
I don't know. Oh, yeah, Hugo Boss.
Maybe that's Tommy Hilfiger.
No, it's Tommy Hilfiger's Merck, definitely.
Yeah.
Someone might sponsor Boss. I don't know. Anyway,
I think they used to.
Postcards.
I'm sure they used to.
I swear it was. Yeah.
Anyway. It seems that Jared wants us to talk about Yuki.
What about him? He's what a jumped Yuki? Up little Chinese man.
He did good. He did good.
Is he Chinese or Japanese? I've just been really racist.
He's Japanese.
Sorry. I've just been really racist. I'm sorry.
That's normally my job with the French.
Yes, well, yeah. But the advantage is that you can't be mean about the French because no one sees them.
This is true.
You know.
Yeah, Yuki did good. 2 points. Could have potentially got a little bit more. He did have that one little spin though, didn't he? Where he just kind of, he just dropped a wheel in the grass and was like, oh, whoops, and then just kind of drove back on the track. So yeah, but decent performance. But you know, even with that, he still beat Ricciardo. So
right, let's do our. I don't really. Ricciardo still ground, did well, but didn't do much. You know. Yeah. Right, let's do our drive of the day, dick of the day.
I don't want to just keep giving it to Lando Norris. It's Fernando Alonso's driver of the day, I think.
Yeah.
He did great to stay there. He did fantastic. I can't see anyone else in there that really warrants it. Leclerc?
No.
No, definitely not.
Nope.
Yeah. So for me, it's Alonso. Dick of the day. You can't say the world feed. It has to be the sky coverage because my feed was good.
The sky coverage, possibly. I don't know. There wasn't many choices for Dick of the Day, really. Like, you can't even blame the clerk because it was hydraulics and there's no dickish things about that.
George Russell.
George Russell for being a little moany bitch. Yes. Why did I not think of that first?
Come on. How was that not top of your list?
Because I forget about him. He's so unrememberable and so boring. And he's just a bit shit. Anyway, yes, we're being a little moany bitch. No.
Yeah. My dick of the day is going to be Mercedes mechanics for just fucking
being
up,
shit.
Basically. For just fucking up, like completely getting it wrong. It was clear that that last sector was going to be so important.
Mm-hmm.
There's no excuse for it being that, for them being that bad in the first and third sector. It's just not on, really. So I'm going with Mercedes for ruining the amazing fight for second place, which is now very, very firmly in Perez's hands once again. Yeah. But it's been in Perez's hands many times before.
Yeah.
But Hamilton being disqualified in Austin and deciding to ram George Russell in Qatar is what lost him that place, not this race, to be fair. But there we go. And I'm also going to nominate as an aside for Dick of the Day, my life at the moment, because it's so bloody busy. I am just tired all the time. I don't get time to do anything, and I've not had a chance to properly watch the race. I've not had time to do any analysis. I've not had time. I can't go on Grid Talk. I didn't go on Grid Talk last week. I can't go next week. It's just a really, really busy time.
Yeah, because you missed the director.
But not even that, just the other stuff in my life. It's just it's really, really busy. So
I'm looking forward to you having kids, because when we started this, I only had two kids, and now I've got three, and it's been made. But weirdly, my life's calmed down a little bit. I've actually been better this season than last season.
Yeah, well, I'm actually going to be able to start saying no to stuff now, because I have a reason to say no. So I am going to start saying no to stuff, and then that means my life will be calmer. And I'm going to have a little bundle of joy.
I learned that. Say no. Say no.
Yeah, absolutely. That's going to be happening.
Although, don't say no to this, because...
No. There we go.
Yeah, that's really large.
Yeah. He's my boy's bum. There we go. There he is. He's my boy. So I'll be
holding a marble orb.
Yes, I don't know what that is. It's definitely not a displaced testicle, though. 100%.
It's not that far up.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. No, all good. Right. Shall we...
I'm going to start calling him Bowie.
Bowie?
Isn't it Bowie? Who am I thinking of?
I don't know. Hitler? One ball?
No. Who is in Labyrinth?
Yeah, Bowie.
Yeah, Bowie.
With the orb.
There we go.
Okay. Oh, that means the baby's got to be called David then. Okay, right.
David.
Watch this space.
We've named the child David.
Yes. You can say it's after David Bowie, but we all know it's about David Coulthard.
Right. Anyway, on that note. Bye. Cool.
Bye. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, oh, we haven't even got the music.
Dun, 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 dun. Right, that's it.
Well done. Music by Tom Horrocks.
Nice. Born to be a star.